Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Find our pal Will Brinson of CBS Sports to go around the NFL. Will, how was your week one?
It was good, guys. It was good. Feel a rejuvenated sense of excitement for football this year. Feels like it's going to be a really, really good season. Very quickly, two things. One to plug and one thing to get off my chest. If you like to win money, check out the Early Edge pregame show leading up to all primetime games on our Sportsline YouTube channel. I'm hosting that every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. And then two, I'm matched up against my godson, Teddy Honeycutt, who's in the listening area for you guys in fantasy football this week. And I just want to let Teddy know publicly that he's going down.
Yep.
And I'm going to destroy him, and I'm going to break him and send him to 0-2 in the basement. See you, Teddy.
Teddy, it's curtains.
So I thought the shout out was gonna be for your buddy Zeke. So I'll do that for number three. Shout out to your friend Zeke. There you go.
It's Zeke's son. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, Zeke's son, Teddy. Teddy's gonna get worked this weekend.
Teddy's gonna get put in a body bag, Wolfpack, NWO Wolfpack style.
He's gonna get these hands. All right, couple of things you've been tweeting about that I am curious about. Starting with, I saw you had tweeted a little bit about the usage for the Falcons for Kirk Cousins. I just saw a video of Kirk, who was here in D.C. for many years, like dropping back.
It doesn't look good.
Under center. And you just can't convince me he's okay. I mean, he does not. He said today, like, the Achilles is fine. And we know this health versus actually healthy thing. Like, yes, he's not injured anymore, but he also isn't moving like he used to. What's your take after they had him in the pistol and the gun the entire game, which is obviously not his forte? He's a drop back, you know, play action assassin. They didn't do that one time.
Oh yeah, I think it's a major, major concern for this offense. And you look at, I mean, just the whole game plan. I think he was under center one time. So they're running out of pistol. You don't get the usage and the throws and the targets that you want for Kyle Pitts. He scored a touchdown, but you know, sort of a broke, busted coverage. You don't get much Drake London. It's all Ray McCloud and Cousins operating in the pistol, which is just, it's not going to fly for this offense. Ironically, of course, it came against Arthur Smith, the old OC who was so bad there in Atlanta for a few years, or the old head coach there. I think it's pretty obvious too. If you go back and watch the Falcons and the Steelers game, there's like Kirk is throwing with his arm, and you can get away with that a little bit if you're Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. You know, but if you can't plant on your back leg because you're worried about your Achilles that you're coming back from as an elder quarterback, and you can't, you know, you're worried about dropping back from under center and running those play actions, it severely limits your playbook. It severely limits your offense. And it does beg the question, if you want to be put a tinfoil hat on, you know, is this why the Falcons didn't play Michael Penix in their final preseason game? Because if Cousins isn't healthy and you paid him all that money, I realize that he's the starter and he's the incumbent. But if your offense is potentially better with Michael Penix, you should absolutely roll Penix out there and let Kirk Cousins get healthy. I know the dynamics don't work like that in the NFL, but you're right. I mean, like, they're out here force-feeding us videos of Cousins doing dropbacks, and it doesn't look natural. The whole thing is very concerning if you're a Falcons fan or have the Falcons over win total this year.
Both the Colts and the Packers lost in week one, but different things are going on there, obviously, right? Green Bay, maybe without Jordan Love, though there's this weird gamesmanship that maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. The Colts, I thought, were fairly impressive going wire, you know, toe-to-toe with Houston. Give me your thoughts on that matchup and where each team goes from here.
Yeah, very quick. What sports book are we sponsoring here? Are we working with here? I don't want to
give out. Big FanDuel guy.
Okay, FanDuel. FanDuel doesn't have this odds up yet. I like FanDuel as well, but they don't have the odds up for Malik Willis passing yards yet. I've seen it in some other places.
Under's the answer.
It's like 100.
Is it a whole number? Is it an integer?
It's 178.5. I got a 177.5, and I got that in, and the juice moved from 120 to 135 while I was betting it. So those are going to come crashing down. I don't think there's any chance Jordan Love plays this week. That would be irresponsible by the Packers, and you know, for the long term, they just paid this guy. So Malik Willis is out there. I think it's a little crazy to suggest sprained MCL, he's going to come back in 1 or 2 weeks, but I think that timeline will be adjusted based on the outcome against the Colts. They're 3-point dogs at home. They have, you know, you have Matt LaFleur, who's a really good coach, and I think there's a chance he can, you know, work some stuff up where they're you know, running the clock down to absolute zero every time. You feed Josh Jacobs. You do a lot of Jaden Reed out of the backfield stuff, and you just minimize the number of times that the Colts are on the field. The Colts like to play fast, by the way. And then, you know, also minimize the number of times Malik Willis throws to hope your defense steals one for you. So I think that's probably the timeline there. For the Colts, it'll be interesting to see the evolution of Anthony Richardson. You know, Gus Bradley said they sold out to stop the pass, and so Joe Mixon just obliterated them in the run game. And Anthony Richardson was like the number two fantasy quarterback, but completed 9 passes. One of them, one of the best throws you'll ever see in your entire life, down 60 yards on a rope, falling backwards to Alec Pierce. I think you just – his evolution as a passer is what intrigues me about them. I think they can win without that. But, yeah, I mean, this is – you know, this game probably determines how quickly Jordan Love comes back.
Will Brinson on Grant and Danny. I'm going to start this question with the craziest stat I've seen so far this season. From NFL on CBS that you retweeted, Aaron Rodgers has not thrown for 300 pass yards in a game since week 14, 2021. To put in that into context, Andy Dalton has done it 3 times since with 3 different teams. He's done it with the Bears, Saints, and Panthers.
Weird.
Since Rodgers last did it. What did you make of the Jets? It's really early. It was one game. They're playing against a potential Super Bowl team. So I'm sure too much is being made out of them struggling, but I don't even mean to lead you in that way as much as, like, what were some of your takeaways from our first look at Rodgers and Hackett and Wilson together in New York?
No, I think on Rodgers specifically, there was that one drive where he was, the camera caught him, like, turning and smirking. He was like, yeah, when he, like, ripped one into Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall's usage is through the roof. He looks like he's going to have a monster season as long as he stays healthy. I think he'll catch a ton of passes from Rodgers this year and run the ball well. They should beat up on bad teams. My biggest concern, and like with Rodgers, you know, I think if you take the Cousins thing and sort of extrapolate it by a couple of, because it was, I think it was like 8 weeks or something like that between their Achilles tears. You know, Rodgers looks like he's about 8 weeks, you know, further along than Kirk Cousins, or at least had, you know, more time to regroup and to get healthy. You can sort of tell that. I think the bigger concern sneakily is that defense for the Jets. They, you know, Hassan Reddick's not in there. You know, they lose Bryce Hoff. You don't have as good a pass rush as you did. They got gashed by Jordan Mason, who's, I think, is a really good player. But, you know, if you know Christian McCaffrey, you feel like you're going to stop the run. I think a lot of teams can really just eat with their running backs against, and that's why I think Tennessee could win this week too, because they don't, you know, they have Hopkins and Ridley, but you can just like let these running backs and let these tight ends operate over the middle of the field, pound the football, and I'm just not sure the Jets are going to slow people down the way that they want unless you can force people into a situation where you're throwing at those corners. So Rodgers, probably a work in progress. Jets defense, a bit of a red flag to me.
Everybody, Will Brinson with us here on G&D. So we always offer all the caveats, right? Well, it's week one. Fluky stuff happens. You know, this isn't a gavel slam just because how the preseason has gone the last few years, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Usual caveats apply. That said, is there any team that you've changed your opinion on after their week one showing? Because I got one in mind.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons kind of come to mind. Who are you?
Cleveland
is
mine.
Who do you have in mind?
I thought Cleveland would be frisky and competitive and tough, and they were none of those things.
No, I was down on Cleveland. Actually, Pittsburgh might be the team I changed my mind on. I was down on them. I think that, you know, they're just going to be Mike Tomlin-esque and like find a way to 9 wins once again. Cleveland, I was down on. I didn't believe in Watson and thought, you know, if you look at Jim Schwartz's defenses for whatever reason, and I like Jim Schwartz a lot, but if you look at his defenses, typically speaking, he was just like first year spike where they play really well, and then the second year they can kind of fall off a little bit. They're also not very good on the road and great at home. They had a good score or a good record in 1-score games. point differential, screen, fallback to earth. You make the playoffs and win 11 games with five different quarterbacks starting. I mean, there's just a lot of luck involved there. And I think this Watson thing, off field and on the field, is casting a shadow over that whole organization. I mean, it's like you make the Baker Mayfield's lighting up the Commanders down in Tampa. Sorry, guys, but and then like Watson, you just have all this guaranteed money and you can't get out from under it unless you get some sort of Deus Ex Machina flying down from Roger Goodell that nullifies his contract, right? I mean, it just feels like just bad vibes around that entire organization.
All right, so rapid fire here. These are the toughest games for me to pick. I just want to get your thoughts on just straight up, right? Not worried about the spread necessarily this week. I have a sneaky feeling the Dolphins beat the Bills at home tonight. What do you think of that?
I like the Bills. I like the over better. I think it'll be a really, really fun game tonight.
All right, how about this one? Again, I think this is really hard to pick. We were just talking about the Browns. Cleveland at Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is just a better team right now, I think. And like Watson's good against the Jaguars, but I'm not buying it. His shoulder's toast, man.
Is there any chance New England at home can get to 2-0 and just shove it on Seattle defensively?
Yes. Good article in the Boston Herald today about how the Patriots have incorporated Mike McDonald-style stuff into their defense. Sort of a thing that Bill Belichick wouldn't do. I think that defense is going to be a problem. Seattle's offensive line, a big problem.
All right, so you kind of like that upset a little bit. And then the last one would be, you were just talking about the Steelers. In Pittsburgh, I would take them to beat the Broncos going away. But Steelers, Broncos in Denver, running with Fields again. So there's not going to be a whole lot in the passing game there. Bo Nix is at home, not on the road. I kind of think Denver gets to 1-1, maybe. What do you think there?
Yeah, I got Denver. Sean Payton's not losing to a team with Russell Wilson on the roster. And Russ might put on shoulder pads and like an extra pair of shoulder pads and a helmet and do wind sprints the entire time warming up for the game. I think you see a much better version of Bo Nix. They'll move him around a bunch. And Denver gets a close one. In that one particularly, if you're getting 3 points to Denver, I think you have to go with it. The total's like 36.5.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Bit on the spot here, Will, but is there an 0-1 team where you kind of have circled where you're going, man, they are under a lot of pressure this week. Otherwise, .. Take it wherever you want.
I mean, I think it's, maybe a little more micro into the roster of it, but I think you could say the New York Giants. You know, this is a team, Malik Nabers popped up in the injury report today. They looked just abysmal against Sam Darnold and the Vikings. So Darnold was great, don't get me wrong, but Saquon Barkley is incredible. The Eagles, Danny Dimes stinks. You know, it's probably all ownership's fault for ordering them to go in a certain direction. But now, I believe it's that. It's the game's in New York, right? It's not in Washington, right?
No,
it's in D.C.
It's here.
Oh, it's in D.C. Okay. So you're not going to get the booze if it's that. Sorry, I'm kind of confused on that one. But yeah, Washington's defense doesn't look good. I think we agree with that. The offensive line's a problem. Jane Daniels is going to be fun as hell and probably run all over the place. But if you're New York, you go to 0-2, and the Cowboys look good another week. The Eagles look good another week. And, you lose the Commanders. I think the pressure gets real turned up on Daniel Jones. I mean, this might be a save your job game, and real, real turned up on Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, too.
Yeah, for sure. What do we know about T. Higgins' status for week two? Not a great start to him trying to get a contract.
Okay, so I'm not saying this isn't like live. I don't want to be like conspiratorial here and like say something I shouldn't, but I honestly don't recall the exact moment when he got hurt in practice. It was just like all of a sudden he had a hamstring, but nobody, it was like he showed up in the injury report with a hamstring. I mean, I'm not saying he's not hurt. It's just, Adam Schefter tweeted something about this or said something about this on ESPN or NFL Live earlier in the offseason, like way early in the offseason, like April. I was like, if T. Higgins isn't close to play, if he isn't completely healthy, watch, he won't go out there.
Oh, that's a good point. He got into like a fight with an analyst. And now that I think about it, I don't remember which former player it was, but they were like yelling at each other a little bit. And
they're like, it was Orlovsky, maybe. Yeah, they're like, there's no way. There's no way he's going to sit. And look, like, the Bengals, so you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Higgins is like the first pick of the second round. Ja'Marr Chase, a top five pick or top 10 pick, whatever it was. You paid Burrow all this money, and you don't want to pay his weapons. They franchise tag T. Higgins. It's clear they're doing the Jesse Bates thing where they draft his replacement in Jermaine Burton, and you know you let him go after making him play a franchise tag year. It seems to me like T. Higgins is sort of doing a, nah, I don't think so, guys. And so if he's on the injury report at all on Wednesday or Thursday, I don't think you're going to see him on Sunday. And, you know, it sounds like there's been rumblings like week three might already be off the table.
Wow.
Are the Rams good?
Yes, but
right,
they just put three offensive linemen and Puka Nacua on IR, which is a big problem. You know, they went out and revamped the offensive line to be a really good run team. I still think that they'll be fine. Defensively, you know, they lose Aaron Donald. They're not going to be as good. Could see a shootout with Arizona. I that's one where, to me, the Rams are an easy pick. Sean McVay's, I think, 12-1 and 11-2-1, 12-1 straight up, 11-2-1 against the spread against Arizona since he got to LA, which is just wild. And like Matthew Stafford with Cooper Kupp, they still have some underrated guy. I think Colby Parkinson's really good. I think Whittington, the rookie, is good. Yeah, they have Ty Johnson. They have guys that can fill in. DeMarcus Robinson. They can make it work on the other pieces with Stafford. The offensive line is the bigger concern for me because Stafford needs time back there. They need to build a run block for Kyren Williams. It's not going to be an issue this week. Arizona has nothing up front in terms of the pass rush. But moving forward, that offensive line, if it deteriorates any further, you do worry about Stafford taking too many shots.
What did you think of Jaden Daniels in week one?
I thought that he was as advertised in the Cliff Kingsbury offense.
So you're like, not as I mean, we're very skeptical Kingsbury guys ourselves, but you're not necessarily.
That was very skeptical. Like, I mean, I feel like I see 40 Cliff Kingsbury tweets a day, and it's, you know, there's Terry McLaurin spending 90% of his time on one side. There's not a bunch of pre-snap motion. They're not running fast. You know, you're trying to pound the ball. You don't have a great offensive line. And it really deteriorates into Jaden Daniels kind of running for his life. It's sort of like, when Cliff was running Arizona with Kyler, you know, light, where it's like, all right, let's run. And I just don't know. I think to really win games, there needs to be maybe a little more systematic approach, right, where you sort of have a structure of an offense versus simply the playground. Like, the playground stuff is fun, and I got him in fantasy. You play him all over the place. I think he's a great talent. I think he's going to be fun to watch. But, you know, you do worry about that a little bit, especially in, you know, a city where the last time you had a number two overall pick that ran too much, things didn't end up well.
Well, thank you as always, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight and this weekend.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you, pal.
Love talking to our guy, Will Brinson, on Grant and Danny. Does his work over at CBS.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.